Good to be in the house of the Lord today. It is the time of year when people are making requests, they're asking for things for Christmas. One little girl sang a song once and said, "All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth." There's also another song where a young lady is crying, "All I want for Christmas is you." Well, you know, all that Jesus wants for Christmas is you. And He's gone to great lengths to make it easy for you to present yourself to Him. On the day of Pentecost, Peter preached a great sermon, and thousands of people were convicted and convinced that they were sinners and that they needed something done, some kind of help for them. And they cried out, and I think they must have cried out in a loud voice, because it said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Whole denominations have been formed around that scripture. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, all we want is for souls to be saved, Lord. All we want is for lives to be changed and transformed by the Holy Spirit. All we want, Lord, is for You to be glorified in our lives. All we want now, Lord, is for You to speak to us through Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. My custom when I'm preparing a sermon is to find a theme, find a scripture, and think, and think, and think, and think, and think all week, and pray, and pray, and pray all week. And very rarely do I ever write notes. I did write some today, but I won't get to them right yet. What I want you to think about right now is the word repent. The first part of Acts 2:38 is repent. That is the command. And what does this mean? What does it mean to repent? You see, it's not what you believe that saves you, but who you believe in. We are not assenting to a code or a creed or a long list of beliefs that if we believe this long list of beliefs, like 27 or 28 or whatever fundamental beliefs, just believing that those things are so does not save you. The devil knows the right doctrine. And church attendance does not get you into the kingdom of God, because the devil attends church every time there's a church. He's on the front row, if he's allowed to remain in the church. But we pray today that he will be bound as this message goes to you, because all Jesus wants is you. Now, about a year ago, there was a president elected on a platform of change you can believe in. And I strongly believe that if you will change, because that is what repent means, change what? The first thing that you must change is your mind. Your way of thinking has to change. In order for you to repent, you have to be sorrowful for your past life. For being a sinner, you must admit that you need to be saved. As these multitudes of Jews did on the day of Pentecost, they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They recognized that something needed to be done in order to rectify the situation that they were guilty of, and that was the death of Jesus Christ, their only way to heaven. Peter said, "You have crucified the Lord of glory. You did it ignorantly, yes, but you did it. You're guilty. We're all guilty of the death of Jesus. Why are we guilty? Because he has died in our place. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he is a giver. And at Christmas time, we think of giving gifts. And that is a good thing. Being generous, being kind, thinking more of your neighbor than of yourself, loving and helping those that are in need. But it is a temporary change for some. And then after Christmas, things go back to the way they were. Everybody gets back onto the treadmill, the rat race, and get out of my way, is the attitude of the world today. If you can be used to get somebody further, they will gladly accommodate you. But if you're in the way, they trample right over you. But all Jesus wants is you. Repent. The dictionary says that in order to repent, one must be so sorry for one's past and their actions as to cause one to radically change. Have you radically changed? That's a good question. Has life just been a plateau for you? Have you had lots of ups and downs? What has changed in your life that you can know for certain that you are ready for heaven? That should you die or should Jesus come again, you know for sure that he would take you to be with him rather than leave you behind dead on the ground. Are you sure? Are you certain that your heart is right with Jesus? That is the whole reason for him coming. That is the reason for the season. That is why we celebrate the coming of Christ, because he came to save us. And John the Baptist said, repent, change, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. It is possible for all the world's sins to be taken away, if all the world would repent. Now, all the world is not going to repent, but a lot of it will. And it begins with you and I. Have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And are you anticipating being filled with the Holy Spirit? I belong to a church that based the whole gospel on Acts 2:38. That's basically what they preached all the time. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is a mouthful, and that is a lot. And how do you do these things? How do you get right with God? Well, you must, first of all, believe that you are a sinner. If you don't believe you're a sinner, how could you ever be saved? For Jesus did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, you're either in one group or the other. Either you're a sinner or you're a saint. And if you're a saint, you should be already in heaven already. Now, each of us is destined to be a saint if we so choose. But the great controversy is going on, and the great controversy is going on between your ears. It is the battleground. It is the battleground for your soul, your mind. The affections of your heart are being battled over. You either love Jesus or you don't. And by default, who do you love? Jesus came to overcome and help us overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. But you've got to have the want to. You've got to change. This is the kind of change that you really can believe in, because there's a lot of people promising things that they cannot deliver on. But Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now the world does not believe in the kind of rest that Jesus can give. What kind of rest is Jesus talking about? Well, there's a lot of turmoil going in our hearts. There's a lot of things that torment us that are internal. And there's a churning and a rolling around on the inside. Emotionally, we're wrecked sometimes. And we need to be at rest. We need to be calmed down. We need to take a sedative. And the only sedative I know for the anxiety of the world and the things that are coming upon it and the darkness that's coming upon the world and the anxiety and the uncertainty is Jesus Christ in my heart, the hope of glory. We've got to have that peace which passes all understanding. We've got to be at rest with God and our fellow man. And then, and only then, can we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repentance causes transformation. You cannot reform your way into heaven. You can take 12-step programs so they come out your ears, but if you have not changed on the inside, they will not save you. Believing a creed or a set of doctrinal truths is not repentance. Remember, it is not what you believe that saves you, but who you believe in. Repentance is an act of the will caused by a change of heart. It is a 180 degrees turnaround. Repentance is change that you can believe in. It is not what you believe that changes you. It's who you believe in. Why do I repent? Because I am a sinner in need of forgiveness. Forgive us our sins as we forgive the sins of others. I am lost. I cannot save myself from death everlasting. That is what we're trying to be saved from. We are mortally wounded with sin. Each of us is a walking corpse until we come into contact with Christ. Who can help me? Who can help you? I got some good news for you. Jesus can. Yes, He can. Yes, He can. Jesus can. I know I'm borrowing a little bit from our president, but there were some good slogans there. He can't deliver on them, but Jesus can. He can help us, and He will help us if I ask Him to. Well, Jesus, why Him? Why Jesus of all? Why Jesus? Because He is our only hope. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me." Was He bragging? Was He blasphemous? He was telling the truth. If He cannot deliver, He's a blasphemer, but He can deliver. How do I know Jesus can deliver me from sin? Because He rose from the grave. That's the proof. If Jesus really rose from the grave and ascended to glory, He can deliver on the rest of it, don't you think? He backs His word with His life. He did. And He thought you were important enough to die for. Sometimes I don't feel very important. Sometimes I drag my chin on the floor. Sometimes I feel like lowlife. And I feel so inadequate. And I feel so weak. And then Jesus says, "That's great, because now I can use you." Because while I feel strong and while I feel confident in myself, I am ready to fall on my chin. But Jesus says to the humble and the contrite of spirit, come on, I got something for you to do. You can do something for me. Any one of you has enough power in them and enough faith to win one soul to Jesus this year. All you got to do is live the life. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. And look for those that you can be kind and do good deeds for. Why? To win your soul? To win your own soul? No. To show people that you love Jesus and that you belong to Him, that His transforming power has taken a hold of you and begun to make you into a new creature. It's change that you can believe in. Jesus in your heart does the job. Well, how do we do this? We repent. And what does repent mean? Change. Change your attitude. Because the battle for your soul is going on in how you think in your heart. It's going on in your brain, in your thinking. If you can be discouraged, distracted, and otherwise engaged other than in service to Christ and Christ in you and the center and the focus of your life, Christ, you are a candidate for being lost rather than being saved. You've got to change your old attitude. You've got to turn to God. You've got to ask for His forgiveness in all sincerity and in all humility. He be really, really, truly sorry for your sins. Have you ever reached that point where you're so disgusted with yourself that you just fall on your face and say, oh Lord, I'm a mess. Please do something with me, for me, help me. Please, I'm desperate. I need your salvation. I need your spirit. I need you in my heart to change me because I'm messing it up myself. He is telling you the truth about yourself and about Himself in His Word. Believe Him and change. Turn around. Go in His direction toward Him. Surrender your will, your life to Him. That's what He wants. All He wants for Christmas is you. Peter, preaching that great sermon on that day of Pentecost, he boldly proclaimed the resurrected Jesus to the people who had crucified Him. Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, is now Lord and Christ. Just so shortly ago, just around Passover, just 50 days earlier. And you know, Peter knew what it was to repent. He knew what repentance was because he had to change his stinking attitude too. And he had a stinking attitude. All the disciples had that stinking thinking and it needed to be changed, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ did it. When He rose from the grave, when they realized He was who He was, who He said He was, when they realized that, it transformed them into mighty warriors for Him instead of weaklings and linguine-spined cowards. Gave them a backbone. Peter was reconciled to Jesus. He denied Him 3 times, but then he said, yes, I do love you. I do love you. You know I love you. I love you. And Peter said it 3 times, and Jesus said, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Feed His sheep, feed His sheep, feed His lambs. Are you working together to get everybody in? Do you want your loved ones to be saved? Do you want your family all in? Well, let's work together and let's do this thing. Let's give Jesus ourselves all over again for Christmas. What do you say? Isn't that a good idea? It's a high calling to tend the flock of God. It is more important to know Jesus and for Him to know you personally and intimately than it is to, number one, understand the investigative judgment. Number two, understand the state of the dead. Understand number three, the book of Daniel and Revelation, or to understand the three angels' message, or to keep the Ten Commandments, or to be totally theologically accurate, you and I need to get right with God first. Is that not true? We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us into all these truths. We will never change our minds by somebody trying to pound some of these doctrines down their throats. What we need to do is let the Holy Spirit show them. We'll just keep on declaring the truths that we know to be true. And let the Holy Spirit work on the hearts. That's His job. We don't save anybody. But by His Word and by the power and might of the Holy Spirit, we can draw all men to Jesus. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto myself. Let's lift Him up. Let's lift Him up. If we lift up Jesus, He will draw. Your unsaved loved ones, your enemies, those that really bug you. The thing that they need for Christmas is Jesus. And you need to have the grace to pray for them rather than wish that they would go to the other place. Don't you think you've got to change your attitude? If you're thinking like that about your neighbor, you need to get right with God. You need to be praying for their souls to be saved, not damned.
Right.
Am I right? Let the Holy Spirit do His work. If you and I are in right relation to God, He will keep us in and by the truth. Our Seventh-day Adventist doctrines are wonderfully true, but absolutely useless to us if Jesus is not our personal Lord and Savior and intimate friend. Because we may say He's our Lord and Savior, but if He says, at the end of the day, I don't know you, then we are hypocrites and liars. Obviously, something is wrong. We need to allow Him to transform us from the inside out. Is Jesus your Lord and Savior? Good. Is He your intimate friend? Please let it be so. Great. Wonderful. But if there's anybody here who does not know Him intimately as Lord and Savior, change. Change your heart. Change your way of thinking. Right here, right now. There is no tomorrow. There's no tomorrow. It's only today. You don't know about tomorrow. But your todays will determine your tomorrows. Change today. This is the only change that you and I can truly believe in. Shall we bow our heads? Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have preserved us to this moment in time. That all the opposition, that all the discouragement, that all the distractions have been finally disposed of and thrown by the wayside, and we have Your undivided attention, and Your people are paying attention to what the Holy Spirit is doing right now. We ask for those in this place to truly, sincerely devote their whole life to You. And if it's already been done, if their heart has already said yes, then let them make the decision to be baptized. And Lord, fill each one with a double portion of Your Holy Spirit. We pray this sincerely in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. And as we sing this song, let's stay at